Of Hebrews, and we should finish it up today. We've been a long journey through Hebrews, and we're going to talk about praying for me as I pray for you. We're going to pray for one another. That's how we're going to keep going forward together. So if you would, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be starting at verse 18. If y'all could stand for the reading of God's word this morning, it would be good. Lord, bless the reading of your word this morning. Verse 18, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read these words from this dear brother, so many years ago, they still ring true today. Lord, what we see was the desire of his heart. He wrote this letter to the Hebrew church, to those who were believers in Christ, who had come out of a Hebrew background, and did so by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It was your intention all along that it would be recorded forever. I don't know that the writer knew that. So he was dealing with his own situation and the situation of the church then. But thank you for preserving it for us today. Thank you that the Holy Spirit knew and intended for the writing of this letter to be helpful to us as well. Lord, thank you for your word. It teaches us so much. Please teach us today from the end of this letter, these last words from this brother. We don't know exactly what happened to him after this point, but what we do know is these words live on. Everything else is going to pass away, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. So Lord, teach us from this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. As we look at this, I think what we're going to see is not only a prayer and a request for prayer between one brother to his church and those that he was trying to disciple, but what we're going to see is biblical reasons to pray for one another. Do y'all believe in the power of prayer? And our brother who spoke before me asked that question. I'm so glad he did, because what we got to understand is God, the reason why prayer is powerful is because of the God we pray to. It's not just prayer in and of itself, and faith just in and of itself really doesn't have any power either. It's the one who we place our faith in. If it is the Lord Jesus Christ and we are in a right relationship with him, that's where the power comes from, because God is powerful. And so in this area of Scripture, we see that some reasons, some biblical reasons that are proper to pray for one another. Whenever we look at verse 18, we can see that this writer is saying, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. This is a great example to us in the church. You know, a lot of times we ask each other to pray for me. Pray for me. You know, I need your prayers. But I think that it's very important that we also understand that what the writer is saying here is that it would be for our mutual benefit for you to pray for me, because I'm really trying to make an impact in the Lord's kingdom here. I am trying to live for God. So please pray for me because of my relationship with God and your relationship with God. I think it's important that we look at our own life. Amen? Who's responsible for the governing of my life? Me. And, you know, so I think it's really important that as we're asking other people to be involved in our life through prayer, that we would also be saying, I am trying to take responsibility for what is under my control as well. And I believe that's what this dear brother is saying. He's saying, as you're praying for me, I am trying to live it out right here where I am. And it sounds like he's in prison, doesn't it? He's talking about being freed up so that he can come and see them soon. And so what I'm hearing from this is, I'm trying to be faithful, so please keep praying for me. Is that your heart today? Because that's supposed to be the heart of the church. Not, pray for me, brother, so I can keep living in my sin and doing what I want to do, and I'm hoping nobody else ever finds out, so I'm going to put a mask on, come to church, and try to learn the lingo so I can look like a Christian. That's not what this brother was speaking like. He was saying, pray for me because I've got the mask off and I'm trying to live a real life for Christ today. And I'm not doing it perfectly. That's why I need your prayers. But I can say, this is speaking kind of from his person. This is what he's saying. I have a good conscience because my desire is to make much of Christ. Let that be said of each one of us that's sat in this building today. Amen? Is that the desire of your heart? Because I'm going to say, God isn't going to answer prayers that are not his will. And if all our prayer is just look, pray for me that I can have an easy life and have everything that I want, that's just really not a good thing for other people to waste their prayer time on. I think what he's telling us is we need to be praying for each one and one another to be impactful for the kingdom of God. Because that definitely is God's will. In 1 John, it tells us that we can have confidence that anything we ask that is his will, he will do it. How do we know what God's will is? It's just floating around up there and we just can't find it. So I'm going to take a stab at it and maybe I'll get it right this time. Bad plan. His will is in his word. And God is never separate from his word. God always means what he says, and that is his will. And when we pray back God's will, pray back God's word, we are praying God's will. And so this is the heart that I appeal to you on behalf of me. I am trying to live with a good conscience before God and man. So pray for me that I can do that. Do I struggle every day? Absolutely. We all do. But let's pray for one another that we can have an impact. Amen? Pray for me that God would bless me so that I will have something to bless others with. Pray for me that God will be in my life and teaching me to be a better dad, a better husband, and a better pastor so that I can impact my family and impact this church and impact this community for the cause of Christ. Do you see the heart of this dear brother that's asking for this prayer? And then he goes on and says, but I especially urge you to do this that I may be restored to you the sooner. He's saying, pray for me so that I can bless you. Isn't that a beautiful prayer that he's asking for? And as we see the writers of Hebrews just expressing just in these two verses, he's given us two reasons to pray for his group to be released. It isn't just him either. He mentions that in this little area. You see, he's saying that he believes they really are doing God's will, so pray for them. And then next slide, pray for him because he does believe he's doing God's will. And so let's not ask people to pray for things in our life that really isn't God's will. Amen? Let's think about it. Whenever we're going to put out the prayer request, that we would outline that in understanding that we're asking for others to pray for God's will in our life. You know, and if I'm living in sin, it might be good for me to get the mask off among the other believers in Christ and say, you know, find somebody that you can trust and say, I'm struggling in this area. Help me be accountable. Pray for me that I can be set free from this. And that's where we need to be. That's what the Christian community is here for. Let's not waste time just being frivolous and hypocritical in things. Amen? Because we're not going to impact the kingdom of God like that. And you see, his second reason is that he wants to be united in person, that those who are praying for them, well, for their mutual benefit. He wants to be there in their presence. There is something so powerful about meeting together, isn't there? That's why it's so desperately important that we meet together. Y'all remember 2020? In 2021, we had a government stepping in and saying, you guys ought not to even be meeting. That's not essential, really, to the Christian. It's essential. And I'll tell you what, to this society, it blesses this entire society when we meet together and encourage one another. When we pray together, God hears those prayers whenever we're together. You see, be praying for the betterment of your brother or sister because it also benefits the entire body. Do you understand this is yet another reason that we go forward together in Christ. You see, then he prays for the Hebrews in general. With the next slide there in the next couple of verses, 20 and 21, now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead. Is that the God you worship? Do you believe the resurrection? If you believe the resurrection, then you realize there is absolutely nothing that God can't do that is his will. Amen? You see, because that moment on the cross looked like the darkest, most horrible thing that could ever happen. I believe even nature wept over that moment. It was so sad that everything was dark. It brought darkness upon the earth. But I'll tell you what, on that third day, when that tomb was empty, don't you know that the heavens were rejoicing? Everything in creation was rejoicing. And realizing that, you know what? Death, even death can't hold us. Because that one who brought up the Lord Jesus from the dead is the same one we're worshiping here today. And I pray that he's the one you worship every day. That great shepherd of the sheep. Y'all remember whenever Jesus went out and he saw the crowds? And it says that he had compassion on them. Why was it? He said, because they looked helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. And he came to be their good shepherd. And you know what? He wants us to join him in that. Have you ever prayed and asked God to give you his eyes? Just do that sometime. Make that your prayer this next week. Say, Lord, whenever I look at people, I want to see people like you see people. Did you ever notice that Jesus doesn't spoil people and coddle them so that they will continue to harm themselves with sin? Did you ever notice that? And he's patient with them, and he's kind, and he bears with them, and he'll even bear it with them. But it's all for the purpose of them being set free from it. Did you ever notice that? I want to have eyes like that. Because that's what he saw. And I can tell you, it's a heavy burden, so prepare yourself. Because whenever God opens your eyes and lets you see people like he sees people, with that kind of compassion, it feels heavy. But you know what? His burden ultimately is light. Then you're going to realize as you go forward with him that you are making an impact for God's kingdom. That then you're locking arms with him, helping take up the burden that he has allowed you to be able to realize. But then you realize you're not pulling the yoke alone. Amen? Because that yoke has two places. Jesus is already there. Let's get in the yoke with him. Are you beginning to see people as he sees people? I pray you are. And as we do, remember, he is that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Whose blood was that? Jesus. Make you complete. So this is what we're asking for. The God who miraculously saved all of us through the good shepherd who gave his blood for us and raised him up on the third day. That's the God we're praying to. May he make you complete in every good work to do whose will? His will. You see, as we begin to pray this and we begin to imagine this and we begin to meditate on this and understanding what his will is, we are going to be effective for God's kingdom. But we need to pray that for one another. We need to be praying for one another, not just that he gives each one of us what we want, but that he would give us what we need so that we can be effective for him. You know, I appreciated that Brother Kenny was honest with us today. Fostering's not easy, but it's worth it. Fostering may not necessarily be really fulfilling to you at the moment. And I've heard people say, I'm getting out of this because this just wasn't what I signed up for. This is really hard. Well, I can tell you, anything that's worth having is worth fighting for, and it's worth going through hard things to see it. But what we're doing when we serve God, and there's a lot of other things that kind of fit into this. I'll tell you, I've said this about pastoring. Pastoring's not easy. You're involved in everybody's burdens to some degree, amen? I want to be, but I can tell you it's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I'm 15, almost 16 years into it now, and I'm thinking, you know what? They could have never designed a class that would have taught me what to expect. So just going to seminary ain't going to give you everything you need. Because you know what? It's a day-by-day new surprise thing. You just never know what the next day is going to look like. But in a way, that should excite us, don't you think? Because if we're doing God's will and we're here in response to his calling, and this is what he has in store for us, whether it be the person that you're trying to foster, the family you're trying to help, the individual you're trying to love to Christ, whatever it may be, it comes with surprises. It comes with difficulty. But I can tell you, if we see them in heaven someday and it's forever, it will most definitely be worth it. Amen? Things that don't necessarily feel really good to us right now, if they're for Christ, are going to be worth it in the long run. And so may he make us complete in every good work to do his will. That's what he wants us to pray for. Working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. And I'll tell you, this next little phrase right here, through Christ Jesus, is an important phrase. Not, did you notice the connecting word was not for? We're not just doing it for Jesus. Because then, to be honest with you, we would be trying to do it in the flesh. And the flesh can't inherit the kingdom of God. So please don't just try to do it from the strength of your flesh. Do it through Christ Jesus. Through the power that he gives you, through the strength that he has, through his shed blood, through his companionship and his lordship over you, through the power of God that lives in you. And then in the end, not only will it matter, but he will get the praise and the glory. People will be saved through that effort. And you know what? It will be eternal. If all they see is what one person does, and that one person gets the credit for it, and they get all the praise and all the accolade, you know what? The actual condition, spiritual condition of the person who was helped will remain the same. But if they can see the Christ whom you're serving and give their life fully to him or more fully to him, then they are changed eternally. To whom be glory forever and ever. Let it be for the glory of Christ, everything that we do. Amen? May it be for the glory of Christ. For whose glory? Through Jesus Christ. To whom be glory and forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? Let it be for his glory. That's what we need to pray for one another. This is what Jesus meant in earlier verses, like in John chapter 14, whenever verses 12 through 14, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." You see, he's saying, whenever I go back to the Father, then you know what? I'm going to send out the Spirit, and my people are going to do even greater in number things than what I can do here at one point. Because we're going to be doing it through him. He's going to be doing it through us. He is absolutely present and available to everyone who does his will. He wants you to put yourself under his lordship, and then he's going to work through you as you avail yourself to him. It's exactly what he meant. He continues in verse 13 of that passage there. You need to jump forward a couple slides there, Isaiah. "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." I don't see anything in there about glorifying the person doing it. Do you see? It's all about the glory of God. Amen? Let's stop worrying about who gets the credit. Let's make sure Jesus is getting the credit. Because whenever we begin to live for him, then you know what? Number one, I won't be easily offended. You won't be able to chase me off. I won't be quitting just when things get a little tough. And you know what? I'll be able to begin to actually forsake sin in my own life. Amen? Because I won't want it to get in the way of hurting the glory of God. That's what I will begin to live for then. You see, this is that prayer that we began the year. Unity, maturity, and revival. You see, as we are unified in this mature purpose, then we'll be able to see true revival. That if it becomes about God and not just about us. And then he goes on in verse 14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, a lot of people take that verse and they try to prostitute that verse. They rip that verse out of there and they try to sell it to people. This is your get-rich-quick verse. You can pray and just put Jesus' name on the end of it and you can have anything you want. Guys, we've got to keep that verse in context. Because everything before that verse is suggesting that the things we need to be asking for are the things that are going to glorify God. The things that are going to lift him up, because he wants to work through us. Again, he says in John 16, verses 23 through 27, "And in that day you will ask, me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." Do you understand the bigger picture here? He's saying, when you submit to me, it isn't like there's this huge separation anymore. You're not separated from the Father anymore. In fact, now you can call him Daddy. He's your closest of dads now. You may not have had a great dad in this world. I don't know what your story is, but I'll tell you one thing. If you put yourself under the lordship of Jesus Christ, you've got the perfect dad now.
So quit looking down on the dad that you had. Quit complaining about the dad that you had. Quit saying that you've got to live under the curse of your father who was your earthly father, and start realizing now you've got the perfect dad. And you sure can't blame it on him. He's done everything he can for you. He even sent his son to die for you. Now it's time that we start living for him. And you know what? He already wants you to have it. He already knows what you need. So what we need to do is get in tune with his spirit. Start asking him, God, what would you want for me? And pray it back.
And I'll tell you, one thing I know that he wants for every one of us in this room is our sanctification. So we need to forsake the sin that we know is impeding our growth in Christ. We need to confess it, and we need to give it to him and say, God, rescue me from it. Whatever it takes. You know, so often we're so afraid that God wants to take something from me. You know what? The only thing he wants to take from you is the things that are holding you back. He wants to take the junk we're holding that's filling our hands. You ever try to pick up something else when your hands are full of something else? You know what I'm saying? I've done this sometimes. I go down and collect eggs, you know, and I don't take a basket or a bucket. Do you ever collect eggs? How many of you guys have ever had chickens? You know, you go down there thinking there might be five or so many eggs, and you open up, it's like, oh my goodness, you know? And so then you're trying to, like, scoop them all up and hold on to them, because I don't want to make another trip up to the house and get some, you know. So then I'm opening up my shirt. What happens? 99% of the time, you're going to end up spoiling some of them. You're going to end up breaking some of them, because you just can't keep taking more. And here we are as people. It's like, well, I don't want to give that sin up because it feels good, but God bless me. And God's up there saying, I can't give you any more because your hands are already full. So you lay down that sin and I'll give you something good. Do you know what? You got to be willing. First part of being willing is get real. You need to get honest. And second part is deciding I want what God wants more than what I want when I want. Do you want more what God wants than what you want? You got to decide. Because I'm going to tell you, he ain't going to force you. Sometimes he'll make it really hard on us, and I believe some of the hardship in my own life comes from my own unwillingness to repent. And do you know, even whenever I get there, sometimes I'm still in conflict thinking, well, maybe I can still have what I want. We need to decide that we want what God wants more. You remember what Jesus said about if your hand offends you? Does anybody remember that? He said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. You'd be better off without it and to be in heaven than to keep the hand and end up in hell. He's saying count the cost. What about your eye? If it offends you, pluck it out, right? And I get it, it's hyperbole. You know, there probably wasn't too many people cutting their hands off that day, but they understood this is talking about my sin. If my sin is getting in my way, I've got to cut it off. And it may hurt at first, but it's with a good purpose. He wants us to position ourselves so that whenever we cry out, we're not crying out to a distant God who's somebody else's God. Hey, pray to your God. He wants us to be praying to our God. But we've got to get the junk out of the way so he truly is our God. You know, desiring to be grounded in the truth and have unity is a big part of this. And that's what we find here in this Hebrews passage as we kind of finish it up. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation. What is a word of exhortation? Instruction. It would include even maybe feeling like rebuke sometimes. Does it ever when you read the Bible? I have people that tell me, I just go reading the Bible because it made me feel bad every time I picked it up. Well, guess what? It makes us all feel bad. It's not the feel-good book of the year, okay? Because not only does it have the good parts in it, but it also tells us what we need to do. And it never really feels good to forsake sin, but you know what? When we read it, it should convict us. That means the Holy Spirit's there in you. It's a good sign, because one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is conviction of sin. conviction of righteousness and conviction of the judgment to come.
Those are the ministries of the Holy Spirit. We all want the Holy Spirit just to make us feel good all the time. Sometimes he does. But those are not actually the ministries of the Holy Spirit that are listed in Scripture. He really wants to be the one to lead us in the heart. And he is able. And he's saying, I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation. Bear with that preaching. Bear with the word of God. For I have written to you in fewer words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see if he comes shortly. And then the overarching prayer. So these are the things we're to pray for. We're to pray for one another's sanctification. We're to pray for one another's effectiveness in the kingdom. We're to pray for the unity that we can actually be together in this and be grounded in the truth. And then we are to be praying on behalf of that the grace of God be over all his saints. And listen to how he words it. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. You know, there's discussion. What does that mean, rule over you? It means your church leadership, and it also means the leadership even of your nation. Do you all pray for our leaders? Do you ever pray for our president? Do you ever pray for our Congress? Do you ever pray for our Supreme Court? Do you ever pray? Do you pray for me? I sure hope so, because I need your prayers. I want to make good decisions. I want to be in tune with God. Pray for me to be in tune with God. Amen? And you know what? If I'm in tune with God and you're in tune with God, then whenever we go forward, we'll be going forward together. Amen? That is the call of every Christian. And he even says, you know, those from Italy, they greet you. They love you. They're brothers and sisters. Look at us, guys. That's why we got a map up over there. We have brothers and sisters all over this world, and some of them are contending for the faith. And in those areas that are the darkest, many in prison because of the faith. Pray for them. Be one with them in that prayer. And then at the end of his letter, and this would be my prayer for you all as well, grace be with y'all. Because you know what? God's grace is the only way we can access any of this. None of us deserve it. Let me pray. Dear Father, as we come together and we have met under the authority of your word today, your word tells us that we should be praying for the mutual edification of one another, that we would all be making an impact in the kingdom. I want this church to pray for me that I would make an impact in the kingdom of God, that I could live in such a way that I would not be living with a guilty conscience, that I would have an informed conscience by the word of God. And I would live it. And I'm going to pray the same for them. And I'm going to pray that as we go forward together, we would see a mighty impact for the kingdom's sake, for your glory, Lord Jesus, and for the glory of your wonderful Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, our Daddy in heaven, that we would see each one of us being led by the Holy Spirit, that we would forsake the sin in our life, that we would turn away from it, that we would repent and turn our lives over to Christ. There may be some in this room that have not done that really, ultimately, even for the first time, and they're realizing their need for salvation today. And that happens when they repent and believe in Christ. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through you, Lord Jesus. It says if anyone confesses Jesus as Lord, their Lord, believes in their heart that God raised them from the dead, they shall be saved. God raised you, Lord Jesus, from the dead. If we believe, you will raise us from the dead unto eternal life as well. So, Lord, help us to trust you, to put you as Lord over our life. You are Lord of all, but especially of those who call on you. And, Lord, I pray that you would bless us so that we can bless others and so we can give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.